Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And to catch everybody up where we've been the past couple sessions, we want this series on making space. And it doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus, there's more space to be made because there's always, Jesus is like dessert, there's always room for ice cream. There's always room for more of Jesus. We want you to be able to identify and do away with anything and everything that is preventing you from fully following Jesus or fully going all in. You know the difference between a lot of Wednesday churchgoers and Sunday churchgoers? Is they're all in. You're all in on a Wednesday night. If you had to, and I applaud you for fighting through the traffic from every direction in San Antonio. It was bad out there, y'all. Whether you were coming north on 35, you're coming around on 410, 1604, and I've got good news for you. Your hope should be up because when they double-deck this thing, you're going to have to fight it every Wednesday. But can I just go ahead and say this? Whether it's 10 minutes at the end of the service or you get here for the entire service, it'll be worth your drive to get here on Wednesday nights no matter what. So you are those that fully follow. You're all in. I hope that through this series we declutter our spirit, making room for Jesus by doing away with some things that rob us of God thoughts, rob us of God move, rob us of God, God our source. And then we want you to create space spiritually and physically for what God is wanting to do through you and in you. And we left off last session in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 12, and we'll get back there in just a second. But no matter how long you follow Jesus, church, there is always more. More to be have. More to have. More to be received. If you're sitting here today and you've been following Jesus 2 months, there's a whole lot more in front of you. But if you're sitting here and you've been following Jesus for 2 decades, there's still a whole lot more in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, in the NIV says this, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Raise your hand and wave it if you love Jesus. Then this verse is talking about you. He said, your eye has not seen what God can do, what God will do. Your ear has not heard what God can do, what God will do. He said, the human mind cannot even conceive. You can't even think big enough for what God is able to do and what God has promised to do. There's always more. Verse 10, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Somebody say his Spirit. That's why we're a Holy Spirit church. That's why we're a Holy Ghost church. Why? Because verse 10 tells us the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Any church, any believer who doesn't want the Spirit of God, you can get comfortable in the shallow, splashing around, playing games, playing in the waves. But for some of us, we've got scuba gear. Because we're getting ready to dive deep for the rest of 2022. What we're saying is, God, I've lived here, but God, there's more to you, so I'm going further. I'm going to make and create some space for me to go deep. But this is what God said. He said, Brandon, your eye, your ear. He said, the natural things cannot grab a hold of that. He said, the Spirit of God is what knows the deep or the depth of God's thoughts. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thought except his own spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Ooh, that was good last week. That's why we pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when I run out of things to pray about, when I've exhausted everything to pray after 6 or 7 minutes, man, that Holy Spirit kicks in. And I start praying for my 2023. And I start praying for the things that are in my future. I start praying for the things that are in my kids' future. I start praying for my marriage in 2033. I start praying for what this church, God has planned for it in the future. Verse 12, For what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. The day you got saved, you were totally transformed. The day you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a new spirit now within you, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So here's the question that it can be rhetorical, but I want you to ask yourself, if it's free, why don't we have it? If he said the gift that I've given you that no eye has ever seen, that your ear has never heard, that the human mind cannot conceive, if that gift is free, then why don't we have it? I'm glad you asked. We're going to jump into it right now. So there is more to Christ than we know. There is more to Christ than what we have. The question is, why have we not received the free gift? It simply comes down to two things. We are not ready or we are not willing. If you got to choose two, I hope it's the first. I hope the reason that we haven't received this free gift that Jesus said, I died not only to give you eternal life, but abundant life. There's so much more to this walk and this relationship and you following me. There's so much more to faith than Sunday morning or Wednesday night. There's so much more. And if there's more, I hope if we haven't received it, it is simply because we are ill prepared. We are not ready. I don't live my life with regrets because I believe everything that I've been through in my life has shaped me into the man I am standing here today. That if anything that I could have avoided, I might not be who God has called me to be. So I don't live with regrets. However, I do know there has been many times where opportunities, God has brought them to me, but I was not ready to jump on that opportunity. You remember a few years ago when we laughed at everybody buying Bitcoin? No one's laughing now. There's someone, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to bring it up and point. There's somebody sitting in this room right now that lost hundreds of thousands. They had it and they sold it. Lost hundreds of thousands. They were ready and then they got unready. Remember, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. But one of the things that we've gotten really good at in church and in a faith world is we get ready on Sunday from 11 to 12:30. We get ready on Wednesday from 7 to 8:15. We get ready when Jesse Duplantis shows up. We get ready when we hear Bishop Jake's podcast. We get ready in those moments, but just as quick as we get ready, we get unready. We get ready for a moment, ready for a movement, but we don't stay ready. This is it. I want you to turn on your faith. I want you to turn on your hope, and then I want you to break the switch. I want you to break the lever so you can never turn it off again. If you can turn off Jesus, you're doing it wrong. If you can turn off the Holy Ghost, you're doing it wrong. We ought to be this way everywhere we go. So we're not ready. Hopefully, if we have not received, that's why we're not ready. I've got good news for you. You can get ready tonight. Being ready for the things of God right here, right now, you can change your mind. You can change your faith. You can change your spirit and say, God, if that's what you promised, God, I'm getting all of my faith into this moment. And God, it's not going to fade away on Thursday morning. It's not going to fade away on Friday. No matter what comes, hell comes, high water comes, God, I am in this. I'm all in. I'm fully committed. I've made space for you. I am following after you. God, I am ready. However, there are some people that have not received the free gift that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, human mind cannot conceive. Some of us have not received that, not because we are not ready. We are simply unwilling. Unwilling to receive? No, not at all. We're always ready to receive. I told y'all about the story. Let me just encourage you. If you see a person mowing grass, don't interrupt them. They don't want to be interrupted. They want to get it done as quick as they can, so that they can get in. Listen, for everybody that's been complaining about the cold, it was 87 degrees today. It's going to be 105 in 60 days. And when you see somebody out there mowing, they're not doing that for funsies. They're doing that so they can get their lemonade, their sweet tea, go back inside and watch college football or Oprah or something else. You don't interrupt somebody when they're mowing. I was mowing a couple years ago, and my neighbor, he came up to the fence. And I had my sunglasses on, and he was waving me down, and I was acting like I was ignoring him. But he kept, I mean, he said, it was to the point now where if I didn't acknowledge him, he knew I was ignoring him. And so I turned it off, and I said, hey, I'm trying to get this done before nightfall. What's going on? Meaning, hey, let's make this quick. He said, I got a check for you. I said, hold on. Because he owed me some money on the fence that we had built between our places. It's funny that I went from unwilling to willing very quick when I knew what was at stake. Come on, church. If we knew what was at stake, we would willingly not receive the gift. We would follow Jesus. If you go to hell, I'm following you because I know we're not staying there. We're bringing the captives out. We're doing what you've called us to do. God, it's not that I'm not willing to receive. I'm always willing to receive. The willingness is, am I willing to follow you wherever you go? Remember, some of us follow Jesus and we think we're following him, and we're just so happen to be walking the same direction as him for a time. But when Jesus turns right, you've got to turn right. When Jesus stops, you got to stop. This is what the rich young ruler, it wasn't that he was unprepared. It wasn't that he was unwilling to let go of stuff. He was unwilling to follow Jesus. And if you don't make space for Jesus, what you're saying is, God, not only am I potentially not prepared, God, I am not willing to follow you there. I'm not willing. You say, oh, I love Jesus. What about when he says, pray for those who persecute you? What about when he says, turn the other cheek? Now we're talking about following at a level that is tough. What are we talking? We're talking about when racism stares you in the face. What we're talking about is when it's not Krispy Kreme Christianity, but it is actually walking out the love, walking out the grace, walking out the mercy. Are we willing to follow Jesus to that place? We don't receive because we're unprepared or we are not willing. How many of you have ever watched that show called Hoarders? And anybody, any fans? I'm not really a fan. It's like a train wreck. You cannot turn away. I will tell you this. I cannot eat and watch that show. It does something to me, y'all. And when I look at that, it makes me feel a little better that my garage don't look like that, let alone my house. Makes me feel a little better about my mess. That's why you shouldn't compare your mess to someone else's mess. Because you can always find a bigger mess or a bigger basket case. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. And some of us are not taking responsibility for our mess because we know someone down the block that's got a bigger mess. The thing is God is not judging you based on their mess. God is judging you based on what you know, what you're ready for, and what you're willing to do. Somebody say, I'm ready. Somebody say, I'm willing. Somebody say, I'm making space. So that show Hoarders, you got that living room that we found. Look, ooh, that makes me uncomfortable. This is a little bit of an older picture. How I know is Albertsons is right there, y'all. Y'all remember Albertsons? Man, those stores were dirty. That's probably when they went out of business. Man, look at this. This is someone's living room, and I've always noticed this because I've been to a couple houses that people that were hoarders. What I've noticed is there's always like aisleways through the mess. Listen, they've learned to live with the mess. They've learned to live with the clutter. Maybe your house doesn't look like that, but maybe your spirit does. And maybe we've gotten really good at, we've got an aisle to Sunday morning, and we've got an aisle to Wednesday night, and we've got an aisle over here, and we can maneuver through here, but we don't want to get rid of that because we might need that someday. Let me just tell you what Pastor Mandy's been trying to tell me the last 2.5 years since we moved into our new house. If you ain't used it in 2.5 years, you ain't never going to use it. Go ahead and throw it away, offer up, do something with it. And I am here to tell you, if you haven't had that pain in 2.5 years, go ahead and let that thing go. I'm not naive that it hurts you. I'm not naive that you cried some tears, but I'm here to tell you, if you want to make space for God to do something, get rid of those things that God has forgiven, and God is saying that's no longer you. So when you look at this picture, if they wanted to renovate their living room and they wanted to renovate their kitchen, and they called a contractor over, And they said, we want beautiful subway tile as the backsplash. And we want all those nice floors, not the laminate. Now we want the real thing. And we want you to scrape the popcorn off the ceilings. And we want the paneling off the walls. And I'm sure the contractor over the phone would say, yes, we can do all of that. But if the contractor showed up on the first day of the job and the house looked like that, he would say, before I can do what you want me to do, you are going to have to make some space for me to get my equipment in here, for me to get my men in here, for us to be able to do what you want to do. All you have to do is make space. And I'm here to tell somebody in the room today, you've been praying for the last 75 days of this year. You've been interceding, God, this is what I want you to do. God, I want this new thing, and I want you to work in my marriage, and I need you to work in my three children. I need you to work in my job. But the contractor named Jesus said, hey, I'll do whatever you want. But if you want me to renovate your life, you are going to have to make space, not just move things around. I need you to clear the house if you want a new house. Woo! Clear it out. I will gladly let it go if I know what you're about to do is going to revolutionize the way that I live. But this is the thing that I've found out about watching the hoarder shows, is you could have a cleanup crew come in 1 week and clean all of that house out, but if they don't change their mind up here, you can go 6 months later and it will be just like it was when they cleaned it up. I am here to tell you, the Bible says this, that when the evil spirit was cast out of a man, that he left it swept and garnished, and because he didn't fill it full of new things, that the enemy spirit came back and said, hey, I remember when I left this place, they've done some nice things. He goes and gets seven spirits worse than him, and all eight of them move in. Don't make space unless it's for Jesus. Don't make space unless it's for Jesus. We started with a living room. Can we show that kitchen? I don't even care what's in the refrigerator. Hey, has anyone ever blessed you with food? It's going to get tight. Has anyone ever blessed you with food that you've been to their house and you knew what environment it was prepared in? Oh, come on. Don't act like I'm the only. Don't leave me out here by myself. And you knew... Man, people are naming names up on the front row. Holy smokes. I better keep preaching so no one hears the names. But you don't trust it because you know the environment it came out of. Doesn't the Bible say you better know who labors among you? Maybe some of the reason we don't have the space that God needs is because we have the people in our lives that God says, if I blessed you with it, they'd rob you, they'd take it away from you. And you say, Pastor Brandon, why are you always getting in on our relationships and our friendships? Because your squad matters, your circle matters, who you have in your life, who you go to lunch with, who you go to the movies with, who you hang out with, it matters. I'm not eating anything made in that kitchen. I want a new stainless steel refrigerator. It's not going to be put. They're going to show up with it, and they're not going to move that stuff. Why? That's your job. It is not God's responsibility to move the trash. Check this out. It's his responsibility to take the trash away. I wish there was a trash service in Seguin. That I didn't have to, when I say I didn't have to, I use the word I loosely, that Jaden didn't have to, because Tyler moved out. Jaden has to roll that garbage bin all the way down our 500-foot gravel driveway. It's great having kids, y'all. I wish there was a service that would come into our house, get all the trash, and take it away. But I made this deal with the trash company. I'll move it out of my house, but you got to come pick it up and do away. I don't care where you take it, just get it off my block. Jesus is not responsible to move your mess.
Jesus is responsible to get rid of your mess. Once you've moved it out to the corner of your life, to the street of your life, it got a little quiet there because a lot of us want God to do everything. But I'm here to tell you there's a lot of responsibility on this man of God, on you, the man of God, on you, the woman of God. God said, I will take it all away from you. I will get it as far as the east is from the west, but I'm going to need you to put your hand to the plow and make sure you move some stuff out of the way. You want some new appliances, you've got to make some room in that kitchen for the new things to happen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I need new. Those hoarders, we got some spiritual hoarders. 103rd Psalm, verses 2 through 5. This is a psalm of David. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. This is where David was compared to where Paul was. Paul said, you haven't seen it, you haven't heard it, you can't even formulate thoughts about it, about what God wants to do. David was not at that point. You know why I know that? David said, I'm having trouble remembering what he's done. Some of us, we can't grasp what he's going to do because we've forgotten what he's already done. And I've been on the kick the last 2 or 3 weeks. It don't matter if it's Make Space. It don't matter if it's The Source. When you look at the resurrection of Jesus, when you look at the nail prints in his hands and the blood that was supplied for us, everything else you need is pale in comparison to him saving our soul eternally. Everything we need pales in comparison to that day, that Sunday morning when resurrection happened in Jerusalem. And we'll celebrate it in 5 weeks here at Living Way. But can we celebrate it tonight? Can we take this reminder from David to say, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I remember what you've done, and that gives me faith for my now and my next. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord, my soul. And don't forget his benefits. Make space for God's benefits. When we hire people here at the church, undoubtedly, the number one question they ask is what? The pay. That's coming from a boss lady on the front row. How much does it pay? They don't ask the requirements. They don't need to know hours. They don't need to know days off. The first thing they want to know is, hey, how much does it pay? What are they saying? What are the benefits of me coming to work there? Can I encourage you? There are great benefits to serving God. But I am here to tell you a great place to live, church, is like the old saying, if he doesn't do anything else for me, he has already done enough. I've got enough benefits that I'm pulling from. I've got enough benefits when I look back at everything. I'm not addicted anymore. I'm not sick anymore. I'm not dead and going to hell anymore. When I look back over my life, But David said this, forget not the benefits. We're going to go through these benefits real quick here. You may be seated for just another moment. You said, what's Tyler doing up there? I give Tyler a time mark because when he starts doing this and Nate starts playing the keyboard, it puts pressure on me. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but it puts pressure on me. Verse 3, who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. Here are two benefits, and I love the forgiving. And I love the healing. But you know what I really love, Sister Cindy, about this verse here? Is he says he forgives all my sin. That's the sin I've committed. That's the sin I've yet to commit. When I say, God, I messed up today, God says, don't worry about it. Here's a benefit of you walking with me. When you repent of it, I'm going to wipe it clean. You get a fresh start. He said, I heal all diseases. It can be a cough. It can be a cancer. I heal it all. I'm going to tell you real quick a testimony. Yesterday while I was out feeding my livestock, one of my most valuable horses was laying down and he was on his way to that great barn in the sky. I was mad. And then I heard my own voice preaching, get your hopes up. You know what I did? As silly as it may seem to you, I laid hands on him. His name's Max. I said, Max, you're going to get up. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be whole. I called the vet. I said, hey, I'm bringing a horse in. And he said, I said, how much does that surgery cost? He said, that surgery is going to be around $3,000 to $4,000, and we cannot guarantee it. I said, I won't be seeing you then. I said, Max, me and you are going to have to do this with Jesus. I went to get my I went to get my dad's trailer, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I told Mandy, I said, hey, we got to do this. I need your help. You got to meet me out of the pen. We met out at the pen, and Max was just up, just chilling. He's like, I hear you going to feed me. What are we doing here? You're late. Went out this morning, he was perfectly fine. You said, well, what is that? It's a benefit. You said, you really believe Jesus healed your horse? He healed a horse because it was important to me. He healed a horse because he knows that that horse is going to make a lot of money that I'm going to tithe on, that I'm going to give on, that I'm going to bless somebody with, that I'm going to advance kingdom with. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. It matters to you. It matters to God. Verse 4, I was struggling with whether to share that story because I was like, man, they're going to think I'm crazy. And then I heard Mike Todd's voice, crazy faith, crazy faith. They won't understand it, but that's all right. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion. Here's three more benefits. He said, I redeem your life from the pit. Redeem means I bought you, I purchased you, I got you out of that low place, that depressed place, that bad place, that valley. He said, I redeemed you. Said he's crowned us with love, crowned us with compassion. God is love. Isn't it good to know that even when we make mistakes, it doesn't change his love? But this is what I love, the compassion, is he says, I love you so much that even though you made the mistake, he said, I don't hate you, I love you, but compassion allows me to come to you, and now let's fix it. Let's get it right in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet.